Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing this morning? Yeah, I am so excited. Third service. We've had a lot of church. We're about to have a lot more. Hi, baby girl. So I've got a couple announcements for you. The first one is, hello, hi. If you are a guest here, we want to welcome you to our family. I'm so excited that you're here with us. We know it can be a lot different coming into a church for the first time. So we just want to say thank you for trying the family out. You're not going to regret it. You're going to love it. We've got a connect room for you. So if you just go out this door at the end of service and to your right, there will be snacks and some of the church family members in there to be able to speak with you, and you can just get to know people a little bit better, and yeah, just have a great time over there. So if you are new, again, thank you so much for coming. We have a leadership class starting this Tuesday. So we are so excited about that because everybody in the body of Christ is called to some form of leadership. That doesn't mean that you have to get up here and preach. If you're not called to do that, that's completely fine. But everybody is called to some level of leadership, whether it be in your home, whether it be at your place of work, whether it be in the church. We're all called to some level of leadership. So starting this Tuesday, at 7 p.m., there will be different leaders in the church teaching us different leadership principles, how to be a better leader in the home, how to be a better leader at work, in the church, wherever you are. So I'm really excited about that. I know that I always need to learn new leadership principles. So now, if you are interested in that class, you do have to go through Rock Solid Faith first. So if you haven't been through Rock Solid Faith, Tuesday night's also at 7 in the sanctuary. It's right here. I love that class. It definitely transformed my faith for sure. I'm still taking principles from it today. So there is that one. Who is between 18 and 30-ish? Heavy on the ish. Okay, rowdy crowd. Well, tonight is Awaken Monthly. The Awaken crew, I'm so excited. It's going to be at 6 p.m. with Pastors Tim and Noelle Stearns. They are going to knock it out of the park. I'm so excited. So there's going to be worship. There's going to be s'mores and a chance to be able to meet new people. If you know other young adults who maybe aren't saved or even go to other churches, it's completely open to them. We just want to connect and make relationships with different people. So that's going to be tonight at 6 p.m. I'm really excited about that one. We're almost done, guys. Hang in there. Uproar Conference Team Days. So everybody wants to go to Uproar Conference, right? Everybody. If you want to go to Uproar Conference, raise your hand. Praise God. Well, it is a youth conference, okay? We're very transparent about that. It is for the youth. It's for teenagers. But if you are 18 and older, the way to get into the conference and get that anointing and get that charge up is by volunteering. So you can come to our Uproar Team Days. The first one is June 27th. Everybody say June 27th. Yes, June 27th, after second service in the sanctuary, Pastor Aaron will be here to give us opportunity on what areas of the Uproar Conference we can serve in. And it's a really, really great time. It's so much fun. There's going to be amazing worship, amazing speakers that give amazing messages. So if you want to go to the Uproar Conference, it's 100% free. But if you are over 18, you're going to have to volunteer. But you want to volunteer anyway and serve the youth because they're so important. Amen. Last one, next Sunday is our Men's Day celebration. I'm so excited. So we get to celebrate the men of the house. So we have a Men's Day celebration. I'm kind of behind the scenes on that, so you definitely want to be here. We're going to have pictures. We're going to have some food. There's going to be a blind barbecue. What's that? Guess you'll have to come and see. So please come to the Men's Day celebration and participate, and just let us celebrate you as our family and as the strong men that you deserve. Amen. Okay, please go ahead and stand up, and we're going to welcome our senior pastor. Pastor.
Good morning, everybody. What a great day. We were able to baptize a bunch of folks in first service. We have one baptism in second. And we are excited because the presence of the Lord has just been thick. I love the glory of God. And we were talking about the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit in the first service. and Jesus was evident. I love the fact that God loves to be with his people. Amen. So today we are going to enjoy ourselves. You're asking me where my wife is? I don't know. I just don't know. She's meeting with somebody. Okay, I didn't know. She left me. So that's all I know. She left. But she'll be out soon. Are you ready for a great day?
Yeah.
I'm so proud you got baptized this morning for a service. Glory to God. I got a great word for you. I'm sorry that I caused the collision out in the parking lot. I don't really feel sorry about it, but you know, hey, what do you got to do? Amen? So let's open in prayer. Hi, child. This is nothing better than kids in the house. Amen? Do you know most churches right now, we're dealing with a lot of churches in America that everybody is 70 years or older in the sanctuary. So we just love watching the babies run, baby. I love watching the babies run around and watching them worship at the front. You know, when they're on the other side, we have a bunch of children over there being ministered to. We're not doing babysitting. We're doing ministry. We're teaching them how to worship. We're teaching them the Word of God. They're getting saved. We're teaching them to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So they'll be great ministers of the Gospels of Christ. So let's pray. Father, hallelujah. We love you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you love us this morning. We ask that you will just absolutely overwhelm us with your glory. God, there's nobody we want to be with any more than you this morning. We thank you, Father, for our lives. We thank you, God, not only that we are blessed here, but God, we know that when we see you face to face, that we're going to just shrill with joy because we're going to see the one who washed our sins away. God, change us from within today. Lord, move in us in the word. Move in us in the worship. God, separate us to yourself that we'll be more like you for the glory of heaven. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So we're gonna baptize somebody over here, but come on now, let's just shout the glory of God. Amen.
Come on, we'd like to invite you down here. There's a lot of carpet. There's a lot of carpet space. There's a lot of room. Come on and praise with us. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Our God saves.
Our God Shout it out, oh God is fighting for us, pushing back.
Thank you that we can be in your presence this morning. God, it's not just we come to a building and we sing a few songs, but your anointing is in this place. The anointing is that perpetual propulsion of the power of God permeating us, overwhelming us, God, setting us free and free indeed. God, we give you glory for being here. Jesus, that song really is the pinnacle of our lives. We've got to surrender. Lord, I'm reminded, and Jesus, I'm excited to talk about David. I want to read a verse for you. It says this. David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, back to Jerusalem. Verse 12 of chapter 6 of 2 Samuel said, "And it was told King David, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God, the presence of the Lord." So David went and brought up the Ark of God unto the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six steps. He sacrificed an ox and fattened animal. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a horn. You know, there are times we've got to learn how to surrender to the next level. Every one of us have surrendered to God to some level, or you wouldn't be in the room. Whether it be just salvation or whether it be the Holy Ghost or some level you have surrendered to God to. My question to us, all of us, and myself very much included, where is the next level of surrender? What is that next step that we've got to give? What is that next thing we've got to lay on the altar? You see, because David laid it all on the altar that day. What do we mean by that? Well, here's the king of all of Israel. He danced wildly, crazily. That's not even a word, but it works. Down through the streets of Jerusalem because the ark of God, the presence of God, has come back to Jerusalem. So much so, the Bible says that he was all the way down to his ephod. Now, you got to know that's the underoos. He just stripped right down and danced with God with all of his might. What would it take to take you to the next level? You see, because even though he did that, and he was the king, his wife, Michal, King Saul's daughter, was so offended by her own husband that she despised him. And the Bible says she was cursed for it. Every one of us at some point in time got to go to the next level. Where is that surrender in your life? Where is that surrender in your life? And I challenge you, before this day is over, I'm going to challenge you there. But we've got to surrender. Well, why? I like my life. I don't like people telling me what to do. Well, I don't blame you. I don't either. But when you know a God who genuinely cares for you, who only has your best interest, when he's asking us to surrender, it's not to take from us, it's to add to us. And I challenge you, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. What is that next level of surrender in your life? And I want you to know that when you do that, it might be tough at first, but when you do that, you're going to feel the peace of God just absolutely overwhelm you. And you're going to feel the joy of God bubble up inside of you. Because God will never ask you to surrender an offering without a blessing. Amen? Every offering equals a blessing. John Avanzini said this to us when we were just out with him. And he said this way. He said, do you ever see in the scripture where it says that an offering, a burnt offering, is a sweet-smelling fragrance of the Lord? You ever smell hair burn? That's not sweet. But really what it was doing, it was a type of us. Laying ourselves down on the altar of God as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. God smells sweet when we surrender. Because every sacrifice releases a blessing from heaven. I challenge you, surrender to your next level. What is that? I don't know. I'm not your God. Don't want to be your God. Don't have time to be your God. Got to deal with myself. Jesus, help us all. But if you ask him, he will direct you to your next level surrender. And it might be tough, but when you do, the presence of God will increase in your life. Yep, you're going to be despised, maybe even by your own wife or your own husband. But when you do, the glory of God will come into your home. Amen. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to surrender. Tell somebody else, I'm going to surrender. Amen. You may be seated this morning. It's great seeing the babies around the altar this morning. I'm smiling just for you. And now I'm not going to continue smiling. I only did that for a second. Amen. What a great crowd this morning. Thank God for you. It's good to see the people back in the house of the Lord. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Miss Kayla's birthday is today. Amen. She looks great for 46. Glory to God. Her husband Terry blessed her yesterday. And I'm just very excited for her and for her family. I believe it's Pastor Aaron's birthday yesterday. Glory to God. We had graduates. How many graduated? We had... Folks graduated yesterday. Amen. Where's Lauren? And thank you all. We just love you all. We're a great family. I just love this church. And not because I have to be here. I mean, I could be anywhere I wanted to be. I thank God. Hi, Megan. Hey, Megan's here. Amen. And her husband. I'm sorry. She was here first. We don't even identify with you. Just her. I'm sorry. They're out from the Indiana church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can I welcome Minister McKenzie.
Hello. Okay. I am here to talk about the tithes and offerings. I love this time. I love tithes and offerings. I love giving because I've seen it in such a simple and applicable way in my own life. Just because you have a title of minister doesn't automatically mean that the promises of God are just going to happen to you just because, like, he doesn't just pick and say, like, ooh, that's going to happen. No, I had to work the word also and learn how to do it for myself. And this is a huge area of my life where it took a lot of faith. Growing up, we didn't really have much at all. Finances and stress around that area was like made kind of evident and very vulnerable, open in our house. So that was something that I kind of grew up in fearfully, like sometimes skipping meals to make sure that I could get a bill paid, like in my like I'm still in my youth, but earlier youth, I would do that. and that's not the way that God wants us to live. So I'm going to go to Malachi 3, verse 8. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, 'In what way have we robbed you?' In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land." Me and my husband's home last year, even in the middle of a pandemic, was definitely a delightful land. And God holds his promises very, very seriously. So the tithe is to make sure that you stay in covenant with the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. We get blessed and we receive a harvest off of our seed, but tithe is the access to that covenant. So last year, when everybody was losing their jobs and their businesses and kind of freaking out about things, the devourer was literally rebuked off of our whole life. We didn't feel anything. In fact, we increased. We were able to buy 2 cars cash. We were able to buy a house. Jalen and I were led to the Lord to buy even groceries at the grocery store for people a couple times. Just no problem. Here you go. Jesus loves you. Be blessed. And we still had enough in our savings account to like not sweat anything. So that's a huge testimony, because so many people are looking for that like $1 million check anointing in the mail, which I still am too. Don't forget about me, God. But the fact that Jalen and I have been so financially steady, we haven't been like down and then we have to pray and fast for 30 days for the Holy Spirit to get us back up, and then we're down and then back up and then down and back up. No, we've been exponentially growing, and it's been peaceful and it's been steady. And that's just as much of a miracle as that check in the mail anointing. So even though I would love that, through God's principle of being just faithful with our finances, he has been so incredibly faithful to us. And every season we bore fruit. We didn't lack anything. We were able to bless other people. And that's the Abrahamic covenant, that you're blessed to be a blessing. I don't want just enough for myself. I want to be able to bless other people and be a witness to them. I firmly believe that your prosperity, your blessing, how good your life is, it's like not even about you. It's so that the unbeliever can see you and see how faithful God is in the middle of every single season. And the word says in Psalm 1 that if you're planted firmly by the river, that you'll bear fruit in every single season. So even during the pandemic season and those other things, we didn't feel the heat. We didn't feel anything like that. We had just overflowing abundance, and we still do. So I just really thank God for that. Young people, I'm still young people, but young people, a lot of people who have been through some things, they will say to you, "Oh, okay, well, you might believe that now as a child, but wait until you get a husband and a mortgage, wait until you get a job and real bills, and then you're going to feel it. So you can tithe your little pennies for now." No, it's when you're faithful with little, he'll make you ruler over much. So some people have said that to me before, and I have a lot more adult responsibility now, and I'm still blessed at a bigger level. And when I have children and when we own more businesses and have more assets, I'll still be blessed and we'll still be at a different level. So you don't have to live by what other people say like that in the world just because you're young. You can start small now, just like I did, just like so many other people did, and be faithful and watch him make you ruler over much, and you can bless other people too. So go ahead and stand up. We're going to say the supernatural declaration. Because it works, amen? It worked for me. I don't know about you. Okay. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up. Because I'm a child of God. Now shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Go ahead.
ahead and bring up your tithes and your offerings. If you need a communion cup, you can meet Isaac right up here to grab your communion cups.
Praise the Lord. Who's the person here, your right knee feels like it's going to fall off? Well, I know it's not my knee. It's right here. Feels like it's almost like going to fall off, just like weeble wobble and it all falls down.
Right.
Amen.
There.
Very good. Can you just stand for a minute? Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to the knees. I speak right now to the muscle, to the tissue. I speak to the ligaments. I command right now that, Father, if you showed it, if you revealed it, you'll heal it.
Amen.
I speak health to the bones right now, health to the knees. I command pain to go. Strength right now. Lord, I command a miracle to be released right now into their bodies. And all pain, go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Yeah, you see, whenever I feel it and it's not me, that's a word of knowledge. What's a word of knowledge? The Bible says it's a bit of knowledge about someone's present and or past that you personally could not know about. And so when I feel sick or sicknesses or pains like that, I know God wants to heal somebody. And I can actually describe the pain to you because it hurts. So if it hurts me, it hurts you. Amen. I'm trying to get you this open there, Gene.
Yeah, can we? Thank you.
I'm just going to drink it.
All right, thank you. See, I can do it. I just did it.
Just like the old days, Karina.
We're going to enter into our time of communion, and we don't do this as a religious thing. This is real. This is a remembrance of what Christ did. And we see in Matthew 26:26 where Jesus has communion with his disciples. But did you know that wasn't the first time that this happened? It was actually the Passover meal, which was a tradition. It's something that they did. It started back in Egypt when they were in bondage, and God told them to put the blood on the doorpost and to eat the flesh, and the death angel would pass over. And when they left Egypt, there was not one sick among them.
Amen.
Because of the Passover. So when we're taking communion, we're doing it in remembrance of what Christ did for us on the cross. He took away all of our sins. He took the power of sin off your life.
Amen.
It no longer has control over you. You might, the enemy might lie to you and say that you will never get free of that thing. It is not true. The price that Jesus paid on the cross is greater than any sin that is in your life. Its power is broken. And when we take communion, we're remembering that. We're receiving that breakthrough. I don't care if it's been there 10 years. Today, when you take communion and you remember what the cross did for you, that thing will be broken off of you. And sickness and disease will be broken off to you, off from you. You see, we don't just say this stuff. This is life. We don't do this as a traditional thing. This is our lives. This, we live this communion thing with Jesus, remembering that he paid for all of our sickness and disease. A couple months back, I got a a fresh report from the doctors, and it was that cancer had returned aggressively and was now in my liver and lungs and throughout my body, and that it was going to take my life, and there was nothing that they could do for me. And I thanked him. Poor guy, I felt bad for him having to bring that news. He was so sad. I thanked him for his science, but I was quick to tell him that I was going to live and not die, and he would get to see the miracle working power of God in my life. We quickly afterwards grabbed hands and canceled every diagnosis that was spoken over my life, because listen, and the only reason why I'm telling you this is because I love your faith and I want you to get to be a part of this miracle. When you see me 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 20 years from now, still standing up here preaching and declaring the word of the Lord, you will know you got to be a part of a miracle. You got to watch. He is still the miracle worker. Listen, I confound the doctors every time they have an appointment with me. They're like, what? We don't get it. Because I am healed. All right, so there's two things, though, in saying this that I don't want you to do. Two things, and I'm going to hold you to it. One, do not come to me and ask me how I am doing. I'm healed. That's how I'm doing. God has the final say. I'm healed. That's how I'm doing. Number two, do not go and say, did you hear Pastor Rhonda's going to die? Shh. What on earth? That's not what I just stood up here and told you. This is what you get to go say. Did you hear Pastor Rhonda's gonna live even though the doctor's report was she's gonna die? Listen, I was supposed to be dead a long time ago. I'm still here. I'm still standing better than ever, stronger than ever, healthier than ever. I am healed and whole. So listen, when we take this communion, it's not just a little thing that we do. This is life or death. This is life or death. This is healing, being made whole. When we take this communion, we're remembering the price that was paid for us on Calvary. So as we take this bread, this was his body that was broken for us. He was beaten for every one of our sicknesses. It says all of them. Every sickness and every disease, every pain, he took it on the cross. So as you take this communion today, I don't want you to take it as usual. I want you to believe that the cross paid for whatever pain or level of sickness or disease has been declared over your life. You will live and not die. You are the healed of the Lord. By his stripes, you were healed. So right now, every sickness and disease as we partake has to go. It has to flee. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, that every sickness, disease, pain, ache, whatever it is, small thing, big thing, God, we believe that you took it on the cross. You paid the price. You stood in for us so we don't have to. We thank you for it, Jesus, in your precious name. And then let's take this cup over every bondage of sin, over every condemnation of sin that you've already been set free from. We're going to take this cup knowing that he's removed it as far as the east is to the west, and he remembers it no more. His mercies are new every morning, so today is a brand new day. It's still morning for another minute, so his mercies are new every single morning, so whatever that sin is, it's broken. I don't care if it's generational. I don't care how long you've been stuck in it. When we take this cup, we believe that it is broken. So let's take this cup together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the cross that makes us whole. God, that gives us abundant life, that sets us free in all things, that makes us walk above and not below. God, that causes us to be healed and whole and restored and made new. Thank you for the blood and the cross, Jesus. You are so awesome. You are so real, and you are still setting free and doing miracles today as we remember what you've done for us. In your precious, precious name, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good.
Yes.
I want to remind you about groups. I think this is very important. One of the principles is if you are just in a pew, then you are usually not in relationship with many people. So the goal is getting people out of the pew and into the circle. And that is building relationships by joining a group. Now, in this house, we have over 500 people already in groups. That in and of itself is humongous. But I'm believing, God, that you're going to join a group. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to join a group. Some of you just lied. Now you need to repent, okay? Just repent real quick. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to join a group. There's still got... Turn to someone and say, I'm going to join a group. Stan has a group on Tuesday mornings. It's a men's group at Curly's Chicken House at 8:30 a.m. for all the men that want to go eat together. Come on out. Come on out and hang out with Stan and the rest of the gentlemen, and it's a great time. So there are so many different types of ministry groups in the house and groups we have, from motorcycles, which is the one I really enjoy, to people in their homes. Join a group. Don't just let the days go by. Don't be just a visitor in the house after a decade. Be somebody who knows somebody and can bless somebody by participating with somebody else's life. No, I didn't say meddling. I said participating. Amen. Can I hear an amen or oh my?
Amen.
Last week we shared on how the demonic has been working to isolate the church. How everybody looks at the pandemic, and yes, it was a real virus, and yes, people died. But the fact was is that beyond that, what you're going to find is that everything is spiritual first. Say that with me. Everything is spiritual first. And in the spiritual realm, you've got to know that there are only two powers. One is God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and one is Lucifer, the diabolical one that was cast out of heaven as being one of the archangels. And in that, even Satan is no match for God. When I was a child, we were kind of actually taught that there was a battle in the heavens. I want you to know there's no battle in the heavens. Jesus said it best. He said, I cast out Satan with the pinky of God. Not even a big deal. The devil is a wimp. He's already been defeated. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Shout, the devil is defeated. But the fact is that he's still smart. And he's been working with mankind a long time. And he knows that there are certain things, especially as we talked about how Satan gets spasmodic, especially as he can see the Bible come into fruition. As he's seeing the Word of God unfold, he knows his time is short. He knows that he's got to get busy. So therefore, what he did and what he has done through even diabolical men and women who are used by Satan. And I want you to know there are men and women that are used by Satan to fulfill Satan's will, just like there are men and women of God who are used by God to fulfill God's will. I'm just going to speak it right out. I'd rather fulfill God's will than the devil's will. But not everybody has that flavor. They'll pay the price in the end. Prayerfully, they get saved and confess Christ before they take their last breath. But the fact is that one thing the devil's been working desperately at, especially in these last days, is to make sure the church loses its purpose. And when the church loses its purpose, then there's really no reason to be here but to congregate on a Sunday and waste our time. But when the church has purpose, then it brings a true opposition against the demonic world. And when the devil realizes that the church understands who they are and what their purpose is, then we become people that are not going to be stopped. And he knows he can't stop the church, for the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But if the church falls into the mindset of what the devil is trying to do to dismember, disembowel, and disavow the church from its call, then the devil wins and people die. I want you to realize that today you're alive because without you, someone's not going to go to heaven.
Right.
Say it again. Well, you know, I'm kind of old, I'm kind of mature, or I'm kind of young, or, well, you know, I'm kind of new. I don't care. If you are alive, you're alive because God has purpose for your life. And you have purpose, and we've got to understand our purpose. And the demonic wants to make sure that you don't live within your purpose individually and or corporately so that people don't go to heaven to be with God. So he's been working, we talked about it last week, about isolation. Now I want to remind you that the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt, but Egypt never got out of the children of Israel. And in this process of the diabolical, what he was doing through isolation was to get the church out of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church that no longer shares the gospel is not a soul-winning church. And a church that's not a soul-winning church is a dying church. It's actually just an organization that gets together to sing their kumbayas, get their religious little feelings going, and then they leave and they do and live their own life. But the fact is that God has called us. Turn to someone and say, you got a call on your life. Tell somebody else, you got a call on your life. Tell somebody else, you've got great purpose in your life. And the devil knows that individually and corporately, as we are called the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12, that if the church sits in and lives within the mindset of isolation, we will no longer share the gospel of Christ. I'll remind you who we are. The Bible says in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, I shared it last week, you are the light of the world. Now, I ride a Harley, and I like Harley. And I've had Harley since 2004. I had my first Honda in 2004, late 2004, bought a Harley. And they used to have the old lights. What were they called? The old style lights. Are they, they're halogen? No, not the halogen. The halogens are the new ones. What's the old ones? Incandescent. They put a can in a decent and it tried to shine. But I remember, especially driving down the roads at night, you have your lights on and you can't see far. In fact, there were times that I caught a deer out of the side of my eye as I'm going by because the light wasn't bright enough. And even today, I know guys that ride those Harleys and they like to ride with the newer Harleys because they shine so much brighter. The fact is that you and I are that kind of light. We're either dull and we can't see danger coming and no one can see by us, or we are truly the light of the world that is now shining so bright to the right and to the left that people want to get near us so they can see the path they need to travel. You see, we are the light of the world. And when the church loses the understanding of being the light, then we lose our purpose. The Bible says like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hid. No one ever lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed in a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out so all can see, so that everyone will praise your Father in heaven. And the devil knew that if he can get the church with the isolated mentality, just like with the children of Israel, with the mindset of Egypt, that they will never fulfill God's will and purpose for his kingdom. And I want you to realize, if we don't fulfill it, then really there's no reason to be here. We might as well all go home. Amen. I'll amen myself. Amen. We might as all well go home if we're not going to fulfill God's will. Amen. We might as all well go home if we're not going to fulfill his will. Amen. There's got to be a better way of saying that, right? Because it's just... Yeah, okay, that. Do God's will. Amen. Boy, that got quiet too. I said, do God's will. Amen. Listen, you had more sleep than I had. Wake up. Come on now. Say amen. We are a Pentecostal church, not a Baptist church. Amen. Amen. So as people of God, we've got to recognize that isolation was a diabolical plot to put the body of Christ away from their purpose and their call. Now, the real question is simply this. How do we know whether we individually have lost the vision or our purpose? We all have different gifts. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Some of you can sing. I cannot. Some of you can preach. I can preach. Some of you love the children. I love the children from afar. Glory to God. I did children's ministry. It took me about 30 minutes to realize not my gift. We all have different gifts, and God has called us to do our gifts. We all know the parable that Jesus talked about with the talents. And he simply said, listen, the five, the two, and the one. The one who hid their talent literally did not go to heaven. The Bible says he cast them out into the lake of fire. So we got to recognize that our gifts are important. But we all have one gift that we all share together. It is the number one gift that we all have. And it's this. That every one of us are called to share the good news of Jesus Christ and see people give their hearts to the Lord. We are the light of the world, a city set on top of a hill that cannot be hid. We are the salt of the earth, and without us being here, no matter what the government says, whether we are considered important or not important, without the church, this world is lost. Now, we've got to believe that. We've got to understand that, because without the church, without you, somebody's not going to get to heaven. Yeah. Everybody in this room got saved, gave their heart to the Lord because somebody shared the gospel with you. Yeah. Whether it be by television, whether it be Josh Fuchsman who shares with everybody, my Uncle Harold, go to Lowe's, you're going to get the gospel. No matter where you are, you're going to hear the gospel. But every one of us are, this is our purpose. Turn to somebody and say, my purpose is to share the gospel, the good news. That is my call. I will fulfill my purpose. This is important. And really, you look across the United States of America and the average church sees only one soul saved a year in America. We wonder why churches are closing. 90,000 churches will close because of COVID. Why is that? It's not that God is dead. It's not that God's church is dead, for the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But what's happened is the purpose for the church has been lost because we are literally looking and running and hiding. We've got to arrest ourselves and get back to why we are here. Jesus, help us all. We've got to know this, because if we don't know this, we don't live within this, then we're not going to see the blessings of God. Jesus said it this way. He said it best. John 4. How do you know Jesus always says it the best, doesn't he? John 4, 34 and 35. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. It is time to be people that are going to stop isolating ourselves, stop keeping ourselves from the world, and start sharing what Christ has given us, the good news of Jesus, with the world that God has placed us with. Every one of us have a circle of influence, and we are either shining bright to our circle of influence, or we are dull. Let me ask you a question. If your friends gave a testimony about you, would they say you were bright or dull? Don't answer. Would they say, really, you go to church? Really, you go to church? Or would they say, yeah, I know you're one of those Jesus people. There's no doubt who you are. See, every one of us, whether you like it or not, we are shining. We are shining something. And we are shining someone. It is either shining Christ and doing his will, or we're doing our own will or the devil's bidding. We've got to make a decision. And this is the challenging part about coming to this church. This church, I am not going to allow us to sit on our high knees and do absolutely nothing. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I would rather tell you the truth than wait for you to get to the other side and say, he never told me. I'm going to speak it right up front. I'm right up front in your face telling us that we've got to do the will of God. That God's will is above your will. That God's will is above the government's will. That God's will is above the devil's will. We've got to do God's will. That's all that matters, is God's will. We've got to fulfill what he called us here to do. And that is, we're called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word of God declares that I am not ashamed of the gospel. You know you're in shame when you go to the restaurant, you go to McDonald's, you buy yourself a Big Mac, French fries. Is that Big Mac? Okay, I wasn't sure. I don't go to McDonald's. I can't make it out of there without going to the bathroom, so I never go there. It's a horrible picture. So here we are, you order a Big Mac, and their fries are the best. Everyone's got to admit, their fries are the best. No, they're not the best. Who's the best fries? Wendy's? Really, Wendy's? I love McDonald's French fries. I like dipping them in the, you know, the shake. You know, you dip them in the shake and you eat them like that. Isn't that good? All right, church is canceled. We're hungry. You go to McDonald's and you order your meal. You know, you spend $562 for two Big Macs, and your kids are with you. You got two Happy Meals, and you sit down and you go. You do your little prayerette because you don't want anybody to see you pray out loud. You don't want anybody to see you praying over your meal because, oh, that's called shame. Someone comes up and says, are you a Christian? Well, you know, I go to church. Shame. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact is there's no other name under heaven which well you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. The body of Christ, though, don't believe that. We say we believe that, but the fact is of actually believing that is different. Because if you actually believe that without Jesus, the people you work with, your family, are not going to heaven, then we cannot not share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to be people that are going to shine our light, because if without us in their lives, they might not ever see Jesus face to face, accept that judgment, and then to be thrown into the lake of fire. This is something that's so imperative and powerful. We've got to know how important we are. Well, you know, I'm just a nice little Christian. I just love the Lord. I'm glad you love the Lord, but God called you to love the Lord for a reason. Because he's placed people in your lives that without you, they're not going to heaven. It's an old story. I've shared it before. There was a man who was being executed in England. And of course, they called the minister just before he was going to be executed so he could come in and do his prayer with the man that was going to die. The preacher goes in, sits down with the man, and he says, sir, real spiritual, sir, in just a few hours, you are going to cross the threshold of eternity, and you will either be with the Messiah Jesus or you'll be cast into the lake of fire. And the prisoner looked at him and said, you liar. If you actually believe that heaven and hell were just on my threshold, you crawl across England on your hands and knees just to tell one soul. I feel conviction just saying it. Because how many people do we pass every single day, and we could care less whether they're going to heaven or hell? Yet God has placed them in our lives to share the good news with them, and without you, they might not ever hear that Jesus is the only way. Whoop.
Amen.
I don't know, it sounds good.
Amen.
You're getting to be a choir. At His Tabernacle Family Church, we are never going to be one of these passive churches that sits back on our laurels and just sings our kumbayas and everyone feels good and walks home. But we're going to go into the house of God, and we're going to have the presence of the Lord so strong, miracles and signs and wonders. We're going to see the word of God preached that will bring conviction, that will bring direction, that will bring enhancement, that will bring empowerment. Why? Because we're the body of the living God, and we've got to start moving as the body, as the salt and the light. We've got to be that big. That when someone sees us, even though, listen now, fact is simply this, is that they're going to be enhanced hatred towards the church as we're already seeing. And I'll tell you why the enhanced hatred for the church, and I'm not talking just the church here, I'm talking you, the church, they're going to start hating you even more. Why? Because the devil despises and he hates the kingdom of God. He hates the sons and daughters of the Most High. And just like God has followers, the demonic have followers, and they're going to hate you more than they've ever hated you before, even with no reason. My wife and I sit back and we hear about all the evil things that my wife and I are. I know I must be Satan incarnate. All the things they say about us. I'm talking like some of the things I've heard are, you know, just so evil. And I sit back and look at my wife and I say, do you know them? No. Do you know them? No. Do you realize that most of the people that send the hate and will hate even more are people that have never met you? They don't know you. They've never shook your hand. They've never looked you in the eyeballs. You've got to recognize that if you're ashamed of the gospel, when people start hating you because of the gospel, that you are going to become a person that will isolate and hide in shame and not share the message that will change the lives of others around you. You cannot care what people think about you. You cannot care whether they like you. You cannot care whether they hate you about Christ, whether they hate you for any reason. You've got to know that as the light of God, I'm going to shine and show forth his good word. Why? Because somebody's not going to go to heaven without the message that my life is preaching. Say amen.
Amen.
The body is so important. You are so important. God needs you. Our purpose is so clear. I read it last week. I'm just going to read it again. Matthew chapter 28. I don't think we can read it enough. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this. And Jesus came and said to the disciples, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, shall go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and I'm teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even to the end of the earth. And then over to Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 15, Jesus said this. Shout, Jesus said.
Jesus said.
I'm sorry. My wife and I have a song that we, has anybody ever heard of Niecy, K-N-E-E-C? She is a phenomenal Christian artist, K-N-E-E-C, Niecy. She sings our songs, and she has, her first song is Jesus Said. And so whenever we hear the word Jesus Said, we just kind of look at each other and Jesus Said, that's all. It's a private joke. Jesus Said. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. The creature is your friends, your frenemies, people that you don't like. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any of the things, shall not harm them. When they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Verse 20, and God worked with them, confirming his word with signs and wonders following. As a believer, we've got to recognize our call is clear. It is to share the good news of Jesus. No, I didn't say share religion. Nope. I didn't say share church. I said share the good news. What is the good news? The good news is simply this, that you and I are not getting what we deserve. How many of us should already be fry daddies? How many of you have sinned once? Listen, y'all better raise your hand because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. How many of you have sinned twice? Three times a lady. We've all sinned. And the wages of sin is death. So thank God we're not getting what we deserve if we confess Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Aren't you glad that God hasn't damned you to hell? Or I should say, you haven't damned yourself to hell, but he made a way, and this way is named Jesus, the Son of the living God. Gave himself as a sacrifice, rose again on the third day, and his blood is available to wash your sins away. Aren't you glad we don't get what we deserve? That's called mercy. That's good news. How about grace? Grace is, I get what I don't deserve. So, first of all, you get mercy. You don't get what you do deserve, but you do get grace, which says, I'm getting something and I still don't deserve it. That's grace. I don't know, but that's good news for me. I'm just so glad that God has given us what we don't deserve. I thank God that he looks past all of our messes. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The Bible says it's guilt and shame, the guilt and shame of being lost. Aren't you glad that that love covers a multitude of sins? Aren't you glad? Come on now. How many of you know that you don't deserve Jesus? But for God so loved the world, for God so loved, absolutely loves you, that he's willing to cover the multitude of sins and take away your guilt and shame. That's good news. How about that God accepts you? Some of you gone through hard lives, man. You've been trying to get people to accept you for decades. Fact is, God already accepted you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He cares about you even in the midst of your mess. Can I hear an amen? He's there for you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. How many of you know that? Thank God you have purpose. You see, the gospel is good news. It's not religion. You and I are called to share this with people. How many of you have a testimony? You know where you came from and you know where you are today. How many of you are glad, man, you know Jesus changed your life? Come on, some of you, he showed up even in bunny shoes. I don't know how he did it, but he did it good. Man, you were one nasty person, you were one foul person, but when God came into your life, now, man, people look at you and say, what? You were what? They can't even imagine where you came from because of how good Jesus was. Amen? How many of you, Jesus saved you out of alcoholism? How many of you, Jesus saved you out of drug addiction? How many of you saved you out of sexual sin? How many did Jesus, he just saved you and you just thought you were a good person, but he still had to wash your sins away? Amen. Don't matter where you came from. It's the same location without Christ. And the good news is you have something to share with somebody that God is good. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Can I share with you how not to share the gospel? Antonio, come here. Probably. You're a foul sinner and you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you don't get right with God, you're going to hell.
Oh my gosh. That was intense. Tell him again. Woo.
You want to give your heart to the Lord now?
No.
No, really. There's people who do that. This is one guy who he travels from college campus to college campus. And he stands on a box, and he tells everybody they're going to hell. There's no good news in that. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Now, some are saved by fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. But, man, you can scare the hell out of somebody, but if they don't figure out the love, they're not going to stay. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
No, there's other ways that you just don't do it. You don't go to the restaurant after church. The day that servers hate the most is Sundays. We got a witness on the front row. Why do they hate it? Because the Christians go out to eat. And they start sharing Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. I just came. Pastor Spencer preached a great message today. I just want to share it with you. Glory to Jesus. And you leave a 5% tip. You aren't going to get anybody saved. No one's going to listen to your message with a 5% tip. And the track. Do they still leave tracks?
Yeah, you tell your sinner you're going to go to hell.
Really?
$2.
$2 a track and you're going to hell. Glory to God. You ain't going to get no one saved doing that. You got to leave at least 30%. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Shoving Jesus down people's throat don't work neither. You know it doesn't work? Pointing out all their sins don't work. They know they're a sinner. They know it. Here's some other ways that it just doesn't work. I have a video for you. Lights, please.
Oh, there's a spot. Perfect.
Thank you, Lord. Invited. God bless you guys. Arista, what's going on? God bless you.
Hey, how's it going, man? I want the normal, my usual.
Yeah, actually, we have a couple girls in line already. If I could just get you to move to the back, and I'll help you as soon as I'm done with that.
Sorry about that. Last will be first, first will be last. Dude, do you go to church at all? Do you go to church at all? So do you go to church at all? Hey, is this seat open? Hey, is this seat available? Dude, I just wanted to knock out some Devos real quick. I spent some time with Jesus. I woke up kind of late this morning. Yeah, come on, scoot over. Scoot over. Let me sit down. I just want to share something from God's word. He hit me up in my Devos this morning. I was like, I got to share this. Genesis 1:1. Thirsty, huh? Get some water?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the living water. I was noticing that you're drawing some stuff over here. Back before when I wasn't a Christian, I was making so much money as a graphic designer. You been born again? You been born again? Born again? And you need to quit walking in the flesh. I mean, obviously you don't really know God, your tattoos, and you know, your ear and stuff. You don't start out the day by just bathing yourself in prayer. The day doesn't even go that well. You're not realizing that there is a God. He sent Jesus to die for you. Why don't you see that? And in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, I just would go to these crazy parties. It was crazy. Well, I mean, just cash like crazy, but I've left all that behind. Now I'm a Christian. You can't live life without God.
He's not real.
He's here.
I can't see him.
I'm just not getting through to you. God is real.
I can't touch him.
Yeah, you can't touch Africa, but Africa exists. I just have to say, I'm blessed. Too blessed to be stressed by the devil's mess. What's holding you back from committing your life to Jesus Christ? It's probably the sin in your life is what's going on. Scary? Hell is scary. Why don't you look at that girl? Look at her. She's going to die. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. She's going to die. If you're going to die, where do you think you would go? Man, that sounded hot. I wonder how hot hell is. Hopefully you don't go there. Oh, this is good. The New Testament is so just applicable. Have you guys noticed this? Hey, you gotta be washed by the blood of the Lamb. I mean, so that you are justified, sanctified, future glorified. I mean, this is amazing. You gotta come out.
Do you drive a Volkswagen?
Yeah, I do. But regardless, man, you gotta come to church. Hey, remember what I said? Hell is scary.
Ways not to share the good news. You know, it's amazing how many people, they don't even, listen now, I mean, that guy was bozo. But the fact is that at least he was doing something. Amen? Now, we don't want to do that because it turns people off. So how in the world? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, that he who wins souls is wise. How many of you want to be smart? Not everybody, I guess. I said, how many of you want to be smart? Amen. The Bible says if you win souls, God considers you wise. Now, if I want anybody to consider me anything, it's good that God considers, amen? And God says, if you win souls, if you share the gospel, if you share the good news, if you win souls for the kingdom, then you are a wise person. In fact, there is a crown in heaven for soul winners. So what is the best way to share the gospel? Well, we know the way he did it was bad. But it is, it's love. And it's actually your friends. God has given you a circle of friends that you are going to build a rapport with. They're watching you, by the way. I said, they're watching you, by the way. They're watching whether you're a liar, whether you're a thief. We had somebody say to us not too long ago, they said, somebody asked them why they weren't Christian yet. And they simply said, well, you know, when I worked for Christians, they lied, they cheated, they stole. They were the messiest houses I went into. And so he said, but when I watched your family, and I find this a great compliment, they watched your family. When I watched your family, I actually saw what you said was true. And that's the light that needs to be shown. That's the truth that needs to be real. When my wife worked in an all-woman's office, and we all know that that's a challenge. You heard more men than women say anything. All women, and they literally, every one of them gave their hearts to Jesus by the time she was done. Why? Because she's the light. And she was bright. She said, listen, not because she's a pastor's wife, but because Jesus changed her life. You see, God wants you to share with your friends, and that's relationship. That's the number one way to get saved. One person said, well, you know, I see this lady, and I don't know why they were pointing her out. I see this lady, and she was a more mature woman. She was probably in her 70s, and she didn't go out soul winning all the time. But what she did do is she did tea with her friends. And she would bring a friend in individually on a daily, if not every other day basis, sit down and have tea and cookies, and they would just talk. And Jesus would always come up. And she was able to share the gospel through personal soul winning, something so easy, something so natural, something so fluid, because if Jesus is number one, he's going to come out. I said, he's going to come out. He's going to come out without you throwing down the throat. He's going to come out because he's your best friend. You see, that's the light. That's what the light does. It burns the oil. The oil of the Holy Spirit, your relationship with God, makes you burn brighter, and people are automatically going to be drawn to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ. So what are people looking for? Number one, they want to make sure that you're not perfect. A lot of Christians, they run around like they're perfect. How many of you are not perfect? Please raise your hand, dear God. We are not perfect. How many of you have made at least one sin after you got saved? How many of you made one sin in the last week? How many of you committed one sin in the last 2 days? How many of you sinned on the way to church? Please tell us your story. People know we're not perfect, but they need to know that Jesus loves them even though they're not perfect. They need to know that Jesus will forgive them as he has forgiven us. We're not perfect, we're growing. We're not perfection, we're maturing. And God is going to change us from glory to glory. And the more we know him, the more we'll be like him. And the more we're like him, the brighter we're going to shine. And the more we're going to do his will. And the more lives that we change that will know Christ as their Savior. They also want to see genuineness. I have found that this generation, the Z generation and the millennial generation, are intolerant with the lack of a genuine heart. They will not talk. There's only two groups that you cannot fool. Number one, you cannot fool people that have come in or are in jail. You can't fool them. They've seen every con there is. You know, people that have been incarcerated, they can tell a fake at any second. Number two, you'll find that children, you can't fake kids. You can fake other folk, but you can't fake a kid. They just see right through everything. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You work with babies all the time. They know when you're not true. God is calling us to be true and genuine people. That means you do spend time with the Lord. That means this isn't a religious action for you. This means this isn't just trying to get out of hell for you. But that God is using your life. God, you know him, and you're real with him. And number three, they need to know your purpose. Number one, they need to know your purpose at home. If you're not going to live for Christ at home, you're probably not going to live for Christ out of home. And if you do, you're a hypocrite. I don't use that word often. But what is a hypocrite? They say they're one thing when they're actually another. You got to live it at home. Your kids need to see the light. Your kids need to know that God is real. Your kids need to know that this isn't about religion. Your kids need to know that without Jesus, they're not going to go. There's nobody greater to lead your children to the Lord but you. There's nobody greater to get your kids baptized in the Holy Ghost than you. We bring them to church to do that. No, do it at home, man. Because when your kids see how genuine you are at home, it literally transforms their life forever. Amen. You got to be genuine at work. Man, when you're dropping the F-bombs at work, telling the gossip stories at the water cooler, they know your light is dim if you got any at all. Amen. They know. They're watching. What's amazing, you can hate your job, but that's the mission field God sent you to. So if you're not going to live the mission field, then God can't take you out of that mission field. Well, I just want to get out of here. You can't get out of where you are until you fulfill what you've been sent there to do. You got to be genuine at work. You got to be real at work. You got to live it with your friends when you're out playing. Man, you can't be chugging down the beer and the booze and wonder why your friend don't want God. I'll say amen for you. Sinners know how a Christian should live. Well, we're just looser when we, you know, are smoking some weed. Oh, you're loose, all right. You're loose in the spirit, and you're going to get yourself a devil with that thing. The Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. The Bible says that don't participate with witchcraft. The word witchcraft in the book of Galatians chapter 5, the word witchcraft literally means pharmacia in the Greek, which means drugs. It's so important that we learn to live it with our friends. They're the people that are going to give you the greatest opportunity to share the good news with. You got to be genuine at church. Say amen or oh my. And most of all, you got to be genuine when you're all by yourself. What you scrolling on? Come on now. What are you thinking on? How are you acting? All of this has to do with living a genuine life before God. Why? Because the more genuine you are with Jesus, the more you know Jesus, the closer you are to Jesus, the one that gave you life, and without him there would be no life. The more you know him, the more people are going to be drawn to you because they need to see past their own headlight, because that is dead, dull, or destroyed. They need you. The question is, if the church loses its purpose, then why are we even here? Why do I push salvation? Why do I push talk to your friends? Why do I push sharing the good news? Why do I push that? Because number one, man, I want to see you fulfill God's purpose for your life and your circle of friends, whether they realize it or not, they want you to do it too. Can you imagine getting at the judgment seat and your friend looking over and say, well, they never told me. We partied together. They told me about their past girlfriends or past boy, you know, they told me all their life, but they never shared the gospel with me once. I don't know. I'm just the kind of person where, you know, I'm not afraid of people. I'm definitely afraid of God in a good way and a bad way. You know, I there's good fears. And this is one of them. It's called the fear of the Lord. You should be afraid of God in that aspect where you honor him and you respect him and you hold him high, higher than you are. Why? Well, because let's be honest. He's the one that's going to judge you, and nobody can fake it once we get there. He knows your end from your beginning. He knows the very thoughts of your head. He knows your very motivation of heart. And I want to be genuine when I do it. Can I hear an amen? And I want other people to go to heaven too. Can I hear an amen? You can't take one thing that you've got on this planet with you to heaven. The only thing you can take with you is somebody else. So the question is this: are you in your purpose? Well, I can equate that very quickly. If you've not shared the gospel with a person, the good news of Jesus with somebody within the last 365 days, then you're not in your purpose. And when you're not in your purpose, you're lost, because you got to try to find something else to fill the zone. Money won't fill it. Does for a little bit, baby, but money don't fill that hole. A girl or a guy, I can't tell you how many girls or guys I've watched trade God out to get in bed with somebody. And after a while, who they really are shows up, and you go, my God. Popularity don't work, because after you're popular, somebody hates you. You've got to make a decision. Do we really love God, or do we just don't want to go to hell? Are we really going to serve him, fulfill his will, or are we just going to be folk that do our church thing, go home, and are disingenuous? They need us. This area needs us. Some love us, some hate us. They hated Jesus too. All he did was good things. The question is this: what are you going to do with the circle of friends that he's blessed you with? Chug down your booze with them? Don't be drunk with wine where is excess, but give them the Holy Ghost. You're going to smoke some weed with them? You're going to drop the F-bombs and three times in a sentence and wonder why they don't want God? I had a wife come to me one time. Her husband was unsaved. She says, I don't understand why my husband's not saved. I got a guess for you. Do you go home and talk about the church folk that you don't like? She said, yeah. I said, there, hell. Simple. Why would your husband want to come to church when you name all the bad people that you don't like? It's called gossip. Yeah, we got to make decisions in our lives. And in this house, we're making decisions. We will not isolate. Do you want to tell you right in advance? Government ever came back down and said, you got to close down? I'm going to jail, I guess. Because we aren't shutting down no building. Church will never isolate again. Church will never back down again. It's going all the way. We've got to make a decision in our own personal lives. Are we ashamed of the gospel? Or are we proud of the gospel? Do we really believe it's the only way to heaven? Or do we believe there's many ways to heaven? Is the Bible true or is the Bible false? Is the gospel the only way or are there many ways? I challenge you today. Really today, I don't have a real conclusion, just a challenge. What are you going to do with the good news that you got? Are you going to share it? Or are you going to hoard it? My wife hates that show, Hoarders. I've been in those houses before. Have you? I went to this one where there was just a pathway from the front door to the one seat at the dining room table to the sink. And then there was another path that went to the living room where there were three animals in cages, and the couch was, actually it was all stacked with newspapers, 5-6 feet high. You can't move. Don't hoard the gospel. Share the gospel. They need you. That's what your purpose is. Live it. Walk it. Shine it. And people, they'll come. They'll come to you. Especially when hell starts licking their toes. Because the fact is, I don't care who you are, at some point in time, you're going to need prayer. Some point in time in your life, you're going to need prayer. And if your light is bright enough, they'll come to you. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, I thank you for the truth. I thank you, God, that you have found us worthy to be alive at this time and this season of history, the greatest time of the church. I thank you, God, that you have called us and anointed us and foreordained us to live your life here on this planet, Christ. Even as you walked, we can walk. Ooh, Jesus. I pray, Father, if there's anyone in this room that does not know you or someone watching by live stream that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that they'll ask you into their life today, that they'll confess you as God, that they'll recognize that there is great news for them, that the world has bad news, but you have great news. Use us to change lives, Jesus. Use us to change families, Jesus. Use us to change generations, Jesus. Use this church, this house, to change this entire region for your name's sake. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to ask that you will know him. This is not about religion. It's about knowing Jesus. And today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you'd like him as your Lord. I'm not asking you to join a church. Not asking you to join religion. I want you to know God. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus, slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Is there anyone in the room this morning that needs Christ? Amen. That means we need to do something. Say amen. Turn to someone and say, you got a job this week. Do you realize if no one gets saved in a church service, it usually means that no one is unsaved in a church service? Or if they are, you get planting a seed. But the fact is that people should be saved every week. Amen. How about this? Don't come to church next week without somebody. Bring your dad. It's called Father's Day. If you don't have a dad, adopt a dad. If you don't have a dad, you can't adopt a dad, find an old guy walking down the street, hit him in the head, put him in your trunk, and bring him to the house of God. Well, because, oh, that's right. You could be a dad and be young. And what is old anyways, you know? What are you laughing at? Oh. My wife and I are just so blessed to be your pastors. But I want you to know why we're blessed. We're blessed because you are motivated soul winners. And I'm not just saying that. 80% of this church were not church transfer. They're people that got saved in this house. And because of that, God will always bless this house. God always blesses a soul-winning church. Amen? Can you stand with me? Father, release a blessing on the house in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I declare, God, your covenant. Not one shall be lost, not one will walk away, but all will fulfill their very purpose on their lives. I declare in the name of Jesus, there is no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, no gross, no spirits of infirmity, and no pain, oh God. I declare in Jesus' name, by your stripes we were healed. And I declare in Jesus' name, your word, that we shall prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. Lord, I declare that we will have great wealth and blessing chase us down for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name. Now we got this one thing I want you to do. Reach down in your chair, grab out this piece of paper. Everyone should have them. If you don't have them, it might be in the chair behind you. Amen. It should be in the chair in front of you. Look in front of you. I want you to grab this. I want you to pray for seven people. I want you to write down people's names, seven people's names that you're believing God to get saved in 2021. On the back, it says what to do. Pray for them every day, invite them to church, and pick them up. Don't say, come to church with me. Pick them up, and they will come. 3 out of 5 will come if you invite them. And when they hear the gospel, when they see what God is going to do in their life, they're going to want Jesus. Amen? So grab that. Make sure you take that home. Write the 7 names. Pray, invite, and bring. We love you. Have an awesome day in Jesus. Enjoy your week.
One more time.